Hey, what is up? This is The Convo. I'm Norm, along with Mike. The presentation brought to you by Oak Ridge Ford in London, Ontario, oakridgeford.com. We've got a ton of Bronco sports, a bunch of 22 F-150s on blowout that are here for you and ready for lease or purchase. If you are into a Ford and you are not doing a deal through me, you're crazy. You're not saving the kind of money that you should be. I'll certainly take care of you. Thanks to Oak Ridge Ford for jumping on the sponsorship bandwagon for the Leafs Convo for the month of April, and we're hoping beyond. That's if the Maple Leafs can get through the first round, Mike, and do what they haven't been able to do in terms of this group accomplishing something really, really special. Time will tell if they do. Apologies to the OGs and converts for the fact that we didn't do a Sunday show, Mike. I think our streak was broken. I lost my voice. I've been dealing with all kinds of colds and issues and stuff like that. But here we are on a Wednesday, back in business. It's nice to be on the mend and in action. The exact opposite of one Matt Murray, who suffered a head injury a few games ago and is questionable not only for the next couple of games, but in terms of his presence in the Stanley Cup playoffs. Good evening, Mr. Augello.
Good evening, Norm. Right now it's sort of communication blackout when it comes to Matt Murray. I mean, Sheldon Keefe came out on Tuesday and said, you know, it's a head injury, it's day to day, we don't know what's going to happen. You know, they're just playing it safe. It doesn't sound like it's serious, but I think they're just being precautionary. I think they obviously want Murray as a plan B option for Ilya Samsonov, because Samsonov, you know, doesn't have a ton of playoff experience. I believe he's only had 4 or 5 games. He lost to Florida last year, was the main guy for Washington. But he's played very well this year, and he's played great at home. So I think, you know, I think he's going to get the net in game one. But Murray right now, I think they're, you know, we've got about less than two weeks until the start of the playoffs. And I think what's going to happen is, Joseph Woll will probably play a couple games in the last 5, and they won't overwork Samsonov, and Samsonov will get, he'll probably get the start against Boston on Thursday. But they're not going to overwork him because they'll need him in the playoffs. But Murray, I think they want back there as the plan B in case Samsonov falters. And I think right now they're just going to be careful and make sure that he's okay. And if not, then Woll is going to be the backup.
This is The Convo for Oak Ridge Ford, Norm in London, Ontario, Mike in Chictawaga, New York. As if the Leafs needed another thing to be concerned about, Matt Murray, the guy they brought in with all of that pedigree, you know, potentially has played his last game as a Maple Leaf, Mike, and it sounds dire, but it could be true.
Yeah.
Got to think that Ilya Samsonov is the number one, and whatever they can get out of Murray, they can get out of him. Because one, I mean, a head injury, that's a big deal. And two, the Leafs have to bet on the guy that they know is at least going to be there and give them the best chance, not somebody who has really not been able to, you know, generate any serious momentum and get on a roll. Because a guy like Murray, I mean, you can't think you can just plant him in the net and he's going to go on a Conn Smythe trophy winning type of run. Health and momentum hasn't been on his side in his first season with the Leafs.
No, it hasn't, but he has won 2 Stanley Cups. And I think that experience with Pittsburgh is invaluable. And that's why they want him as an option, because if they have to go to him, if Samsonov doesn't play up to expectations, and there's a guy who is, you know, won 2 championships with the Penguins. And, you know, I don't care if it's with Sidney Crosby or Malkin or whatever, you know, he's been very good in those instances. And yes, he has been injury prone, as B Skinny is saying in the chat, but he is somebody who, when he is on, has played really well. And now you can say, well, he hasn't been on recently because he's been giving up 4 goals a game like they're going out of style. But, you know, he was great against Ottawa, where he made 48 saves. And I still have faith that if they go to him, he can be somebody who can make a difference. Now, I think they're going to go to Samsonov, and if Samsonov plays well, they're going to stick with Samsonov. But if Murray is up to it in terms of health, I think there's a possibility that he, you will see him in consequential minutes in the playoffs.
Yeah, and it depends on whether he's back and he's healthy, Mike. That's the thing. The benefit is that the third man in, the alternative to the Samsonov Murray backup, is one Joseph Woll. Now, clearly, no Stanley Cup playoff experience, but he might be the next great goaltender for the Maple Leafs. And potentially this is an opportunity for him to somehow get into the A game of consequence and shine and, you know, do something that conjures up a lot of imagination. That's the thing. We don't know where the hell this thing is going, Mike. It's hard for any of us to be totally definitive about a prediction or, you know, an idea of how things are going to play out based on the team's history in the first round and the group it has right now. Some of the pivotal people that were brought in to backstop or be the, you know, the foundation to a run may not even be in the mix when the puck is dropped on the Stanley Cup playoffs mid-month.
Well, I mean, I like Joseph Woll a lot, and I do think he's part of the future of this team, but I mean, for their present, I think that's the last thing they want, is to have to depend on Joseph Woll, because he doesn't have any experience. He's played very well at the Marlies. He's played very well with the Leafs in a limited amount of games, but the Stanley Cup playoffs are completely different. And that's why I think, you know, you want Samsonov, but you want Murray as the backup. And you know, if by some, you know, if all of a sudden Ilya Samsonov pulls a groin or something like that, and then you have to go to a 24-year-old kid with no experience, you'd rather have an experienced Matt Murray in there. So, I mean, we'll see what happens. But like I said, well, I think ideally Woll's playing the first round of the Calder Cup playoffs with the Marlies, and Matt Murray is backing up Samsonov.
Mike, here's a question for you, and I should know this, but just off the top of your head, going back over the last several years, in terms of a deadline acquisition, can you remember anyone who was acquired and made a huge difference and was right there until the very end? Because, I mean, even going back to, you know, the beginning of the season, or somebody who was acquired as a one-off in the to help the team, you know, during the regular season, anybody that you can remember who was here and then gone and made a major impact? And the reason I'm asking that question is because you go back to the Nick Foligno situation. Joe Thornton, he did what he could and then he was gone. I mean, Matt Murray, brought in to stabilize the net, and you know, he's dealt with injuries all year. Ryan O'Reilly, you know, he gets a hat trick in Buffalo and he looked great and then has the hand injury. Who has Kyle Dubas acquired, whether the beginning of the season or right at the deadline, who's actually made an impact and was one of the last men standing when the Leafs were eliminated?
Well, I mean, nobody has been standing because they've been eliminated in the first round all those years. I mean, you have to say that, you know, guys like Colin Blackwell or Lyubushkin, or, you know, I mean, they were talking about role players. But I mean, in terms of the Leafs as a franchise, you have to sort of go back to Brian Leetch in 2004.
Right.
When he performed really well in the playoff, late in the regular season and in the playoffs. I mean, you know, for a player to have real impact and have a lot of success, the team has to have a lot of success. Right. And they haven't gone anywhere in 19 years. So it's sort of a tough question to ask.
So it's not for lack of trying, right? And we will analyze, and that's the thing. There are people who, you know, are writing obituaries for Dubas and Sheldon Keefe and the brass right now. Others who are, you know, outlining a script that they will present when the Leafs fail to get past the first round, or even potentially the second round, and then it's done and it's time to bring in a new regime. But these guys have tried. Like this organization has tried. You can argue whether the moves they've made have been right, but it's not like they've done anything that's so glaring that has set the team back, other than the organic moves of, you know, re-signing guys, or you know, the free agent signings of a guy like Tavares. You know, the stuff to augment the group and try to make it better when push comes to shove, you know, they've done the best with what they've you know, could achieve at the time. It just hasn't worked out. And I'm not throwing in the white towel or throwing in the towel on what's to come. It could be, a Cinderella story at the end of the day, but I'm trying to point out that the organization has tried. Kyle Dubas at front and center in that.
Yeah. Giordano had a good effect on the team last year after being acquired and in the playoffs. He was a steadying influence in the playoffs. But, Like I said, you only know if these guys are difference makers if this team actually wins. So, you know, you can say if they win the first round over Tampa Bay and Ryan O'Reilly has a great series, then the deal was worth it. And I do think that the Leafs want to bring Ryan O'Reilly back on a new contract. Whether they'll be able to or not will depend on the salary cap and what other moves they make or don't make.
Right.
He's
back too, right, against Boston. Nice time to return.
Yeah, I mean, they won't, 5 games left in the regular season, they believe, and it's right at 4 weeks, which is what they said the recovery time for the broken finger was. You know, they want to get him in a few games and sort of get him into the swing of things. And a few questions in the chat were asking about where he's going to play. Like, they're playing him at third line center. They went through practice with Noel Achari and Alex Kerfoot, which is where I thought they were going to put O'Reilly from the very beginning. It made a little sense. They wanted to make him feel comfortable playing, you know, with Tavares and Marner and get him ingratiated. But now they need him to play the role that they traded for, which is depth up the middle, third line center matchup. Whether he matches up against Sorelli or Point or Nick Paul, they need more than just Matthews and Tavares up the middle. And that's the whole reason they made the trade for Ryan O'Reilly.
O'Reilly is not, he is a mucker, but he's not a mucker. He's not a guy who's just going to go looking for physical altercations and spend half a period in the box. How do you think, what does he do? When we're deep into the second period of the first game and you've got Tampa's goons trying to stir it up and Austin Matthews is smiling, William Nylander's going to avoid it, Marner's going to do his best. How does Ryan O'Reilly assert, not only calm things down, but assert himself? How will we see him take his game to the next level, bring what he did and what made his name when he was the Conn Smythe Trophy winner for St. Louis?
Well, he is an extremely responsible defensive player. I mean, if you're looking for the pushback that we're talking about against the bottom six of Tampa, it's not going to be Ryan O'Reilly. It's going to be Achari. It's going to be Shen. It's going to be, guys like Aston Reese or Lafferty or Bunting. Right. It's, O'Reilly, especially with the coming off of, he's not going to be dropping the gloves, especially coming off a broken finger. He's had a history of, he's not exactly like a, he's not an intimidator. He's just a great two-way player. And that's what they want. They don't want him to step outside of his comfort zone. They want him, to be a matchup defensive center who can kick in the occasional goal. And this is a guy who had, 1 year had 2 penalty minutes. So it's like, he's not Mr. Open ice hit, Wendell Clark, that type of thing. He is a matchup defensive center. And they want him to shut down Braden Point or shut down Sorelli or shut down Nick Paul.
Can he?
Yes. Yeah, he can.
How did he do that?
Well, I mean, he's very positionally sound. He's a very intelligent hockey player. So, he comes up against Braden Point. Braden Point has the speed advantage, but we know that O'Reilly has got the experience to be able to counter that. So it's, the thing that the luxury that the Leafs have, especially in Tampa, is that, Tampa Bay would try to match up, say it was last year, with David Kampf as your third line center. They would want Point against David Kampf, and David Kampf is a good defensive player, but offensively is no threat. O'Reilly's a threat going the other way. So
absolutely he is.
Yeah. So Point, if he comes up against Point, if he comes up against Paul or Sorelli, they have to worry about the counterattack going the other way or O'Reilly being able to feed one of his wingers. So It just lengthens the Leafs lineup, which I think it was extremely important.
OG's Converse, thanks for being here. Like the content, subscribe to the channel. We appreciate your support. OakRidgeFord.com is where you're going to find your next car, new or used. You can get at me, Norman.James@OakRidgeFord.com. That's my work email. Like I said, OG's Converse, you have some spending money. It doesn't matter where you are, as long as you're in Canada, because if you are in the United States and I sell you a car, I'm going to get hit with a big fine for exporting, and I don't want to do that. It's not worth it. Apologies to our American consumers, but if you're in Ontario especially, you need something. You'd be crazy to go to your local dealer and try to get a deal when I'm right here. I sell a ton of cars and I have lots of leverage with the general manager in the dealership group. And that's not just me saying, hey, I need a car deal. I don't. I'm doing it for you. We're right here. We've had listeners and viewers of the content of the convo buy cars from us, and they're proof in the pudding, right? They get great deals. So OakRidgeFord.com is where you're going to find your next car. Mike, you know, there's this fear that Tampa's just going to run roughshod over the Maple Leafs, and that's coming from a lot of the people who don't believe in this team based on what they've seen. And then you have the pie in the sky, constantly optimistic, and sometimes it's as more of an aesthetic or superficial optimism, but it's, well, you know, this is our year. We're just going to take Tampa down because they're old and haggard, and it's about time that somehow the Leafs just will their way to this. Are we making maybe too much of what Tampa may be capable of, considering, yeah, they've got the playoff pedigree, but at some point, I mean, you're going to turn the page, and maybe just through enough opportunities, this is a chance for the Leafs to finally make that adjustment, be the better team.
I don't think we're making enough of it. I think, honestly, for people were looking at Tampa Bay a couple weeks ago, and they were slumping and they were losing games and they were not playing very well. And gee, what happened over the last week? Andrei Vasilevskiy won player of the week, won first star of the week. He had a couple shutouts. He's the Vasilevskiy that we ran into, that the Leafs ran into in the first round last year. You cannot depend on this team to fail to be able to win. You've got to.
Mike Arish, I will say Tampa's defense kind of getting overrated. It's not better than Toronto's. Sounds like somebody who is just like fucking blue and white glasses, Leaf blue and white glasses.
Their defense compared to last year is not as good. They lost McDonough. McDonough was an extremely important part of the defense. But they're still adequate. They're still decent. And you've got a Victor Hedman who will log 30 minutes a night if needs be. But their forwards, you know, you're talking not only the experienced guys like Kucherov and Stamkos and Point and Cirelli, but then you're talking about the bottom six, and you've got a former Hart Trophy winner and Corey Perry and Maroon and Killorn and Hagel is having a career year. I mean, they're 1 through 12 forward wise. I mean, the Leafs have really good forwards, but Tampa Bay is better and more experienced. So, and we know that they have a goaltending advantage in Vasilevskiy. So what the Leafs are going to have to do is take advantage of the weakness, the chink in the armor, so to speak, of Tampa Bay on defense. And, you know, and they can do that by wearing out guys like Sergachev and Hedman. It's tough to wear Hedman down when he's like 6'5" and he's a monster.
Who can do that on the Maple Leafs? Who has that in their mindset? Who has Victor Hedman's picture, on the wall in their, on the corkboard in their kitchen, throwing darts at it right now? Which player?
Well, I mean, Achari is probably the only one who's proactive in terms of hitting. But, I mean, you'll get other players doing it as well. And, again, and I know it's been emphasized over the last week or so about Bunting and sort of keeping his emotions in check. But he's going to have to be somebody who gets underneath the skin of Tampa Bay. What's that?
100%. And I know the Leafs are a little pissed off with the officiating for who they say are picking on Bunting. And I don't know if that's a little posturing or if you would.
Well, I think it's a situation right now where, like, I mean, he was called for embellishment when Jake Walman cross-checked him twice to the ice. I would say something if I thought it was embellishment. And I don't think it was. Now, the clown act that he did at the end of the second period against Detroit, where he was sort of kicking Mort Sider's stick down the ice, and it's like he, you know, it was like like that old routine where you got the dollar bill on a string and you're pulling it, and it was that type of thing. And that's the kind of stuff that he has to get away from, because that's the kind of stuff that you'll get penalized in a playoff, and a power play with that Tampa Bay team is something that could kill you. So
where do you think that came from? Why do you think he's all of a sudden evolving into this Sideshow Bob kind of player?
I don't think he's evolving into it. I think that, you know, early in the year, even last year, he was drawing tons of penalties. And, you know, maybe other teams have complained that he, you know, they think he's over embellishing, and then the referees are listening to it. I mean, I know that Sheldon Keefe said that Dubas was going to talk to officiating about that. I mean, this is a guy who, even in spite of the fact that he's 5'10" and 180 pounds, goes to the front of the net, goes and stirs it up. You watch him up against Evander Kane, and he's getting mauled by Evander Kane, and they didn't call a penalty on it. So it's like, I guess they're sort of, you know, getting used to the fact that he's getting knocked around and not respecting that. And I think that's a joke, but, you know, that's probably you know, what's going to happen in the playoffs, and he just can't lose his cool. Now, I'll just mention
life, Mike. Just hold that thought. We're watching life. Achari and Bunting don't score anymore. When the playoffs start, I expect the guys who scored the goals to score the goals. If Achari and Bunting are doing all of the intangibles, doing a lot of other things that help result in success for this team, that's what I'd want. And maybe one of these guys puts a goal in an overtime. But geez, if you're expecting Achari and Bunting to fill the net in the playoffs,
well, no. He said that they don't scare anyone. And that's the thing. Say, okay, Bunting doesn't scare anybody. He's, like I said, he's 5'10 and 180 pounds. But Achari is a hitter. He's one of the top, like, 10 hitters in the league. Luke Shen scares people. He's a big, tough dude. Right. They need against Tampa not to be proactive in terms of, they need to be able to respond. If Tampa hits them, they need to hit them back. And I don't think, you know, a couple of people in the chat are saying you got to play Wayne Simmons. Please, you play Wayne
Simmons. Did you see the other night, Mike? He was on the ice for 2 seconds and took a penalty. Cal Morale, the refs in the NHL have made up their minds. We've got to live with it. The Leafs got to overcome it. Were the Detroit Red Wings during that dynasty complaining about the officiating?
Well, no, but because they never put themselves in a position to get hit, let alone hit somebody. But here's the thing, and, you know, goaltending wise, we already discussed it. It looks like it's going to be Samsonov in the playoffs. Sheldon Keefe has been rotating, you know, 8-9 defensemen over the last couple weeks. They send messages to me, direct messages on Twitter, saying I have a bias against Justin Hall and that I emphasize every time Justin Hall makes a mistake. And I'm like, yeah, because he makes it a hell of a lot of them. And honestly, it's like when you see against Columbus getting caught flat-footed by Eric Robinson and getting blown by, like, you're standing still, and him scoring a goal to make a 3-1 game 3-2 late in the third period, that's a guy I don't want in the lineup against Tampa Bay. Now, I think
he plays Paul Coffey minutes, and it's just, I haven't seen any progression from this guy. He's been given, like, he's been given the ball and hasn't really been able to run with it other than run with it and have it taken away from him night in and night out. That's the criticism, Mike, and you should stay on that, man.
Well, I mean, I'm just, Sheldon Keefe likes him. Sheldon Keefe trusts him. I don't know why. And if it was me, I would put, and I think, after having a little bit of a lull a couple weeks ago, I think Timothy Liljegren has played really well. I would play Liljegren over. Like I said, they traded for Shen, and Shen has to be in there against Tampa because of all the you know, the physicality that Tampa has in the bottom six. They need
is can he keep up with the player? Are you just thinking he's just in a quadrant and he does what he has to do?
I think he's not the fastest guy, but he's physical enough that he's able to, I think, you know, he's played in Stanley Cup finals. So, you know, I don't think it's a concern. I mean, right. You know, if you're talking about who's the best skater, then it's Liljegren. If you're talking about who's going to be the most physical, it's right. Luke Shen. So, but I'm just saying, like, right now it looks like it's going to be, you know, Riley and Brody and McCabe and Giordano. And then, you know, I think it's going to be Shen, and it's either Hall or Liljegren, and it should be Liljegren, but it's probably going to be Hall.
So, Mike, we should probably wrap up here a little bit. My voice is not doing the greatest, and we're going to do more shows throughout the week, throughout this month of April, sponsored by Oak Ridge Ford. There's going to be tons of content. So if you've missed us for the past week, you got your break from us. You're about to get your fill. And we hope you come back. Don't forget to like the content, subscribe to the channel. There's plenty more to come. What do the Leafs want? Forget about what they have to do. What do the Leafs want to do? Conceptually, what do they want to do in the playoffs that they believe will result in success that finally gets them over the hump? On the flip side, how does Tampa want to restrict the Leafs' capabilities, you know, keeping them at arm's length and preventing the Leafs from, you know, finally making it to the second round? I'll leave those two questions with you, and then we'll get out of here, Mike.
I think it's simply that Tampa is going to want to frustrate the Leafs' core group, and the Leafs' core group have to fight through whatever mental block that they have, which has happened off and on over the last few years, and play as if they play like they play during the regular season. They have to be dominant players. You know, maybe you're not going to be better than Stamkos or Point or Kucherov, but you have to be equal to them. Right. And, you know, last year at times, Marner and Matthews played really well, but late in the series, they could only score one goal in game seven. They need more offense at the right time from those guys.
Forget game seven, man. I hate.
No, but I'm just saying. But that it may come down to that. Right. And if it comes down to that, they're going to need to produce when the time is right. And that, you know, if they do, then the Leafs will win. And if they don't, then we're talking about another first round exit.
Corey Parrish has been on the bandwagon, waving the pom poms, blue and white glasses. All day, there's a kiosk at Union Station that Corey Parrish is running with these shitty made blue and white glasses that he's selling for way too much money. Go buy a pair and support this guy. This team hasn't won a playoff round in 19 years. I'm confident that this year is the best chance we've had since 2004 as far as the dynamics of the team's roles are filled properly. Mr. Augello, you are not one to exude optimism, especially in the face of this jingoistic, mentality for a team. But is there an inkling to what Corey is saying here, Mike? If you were just to wear one of those little tiny optimism top hats, I mean, could you not concur?
I think their goaltending is better than it was last year. I think their defense is as good as it's been in the post Burke. You know, so you're talking Babcock, Keefe era. Post-Burke. Yeah, their forwards are deep. You know, when they've never had three centers like Matthews, Tavares, and O'Reilly. Yeah. All that being said,
yeah.
You know, I mean, show me. That's right. I keep saying, show me. I'm ready. I'm a believer. I'm a believer that this team is good enough to beat Tampa, but good enough does not mean they'll beat Tampa. So show me, show Leafs Nation. That's what everybody's expecting.
I don't understand from the pom-pom waivers why there isn't just a general skepticism with a quiet optimism. And instead of criticizing people who are just being realistic and going off of what we've seen and what we're seeing, just, you know, quietly be optimistic, but understand that there's still a hill to climb. And I know that fans want to believe. We're all believing. But what do you want from this content? Just to, yay, we can do it. We can do it. We've been playing decent. But there's something there underlying that we haven't unearthed yet, but it will, right?
There's 19 years of scar tissue, folks.
Yeah, I know. It goes back almost a century with you. You know, you were...
Yeah, well, I'm that old. So.
Hey, real quick, Marner, 95 points. I mean, this guy, what, close to 100 last year, close to 100 a few years ago, five games, needs 5 points. Austin Matthews, hey, if he could hit the 40-goal plateau in a year that he hasn't played the full 82 and where he's been criticized for not scoring at a 62-goal clip, that would be nice. Does Matthews get 40? He needs two with five games to go, and can Marner finally hit that 100-point plateau?
Yes and yes, but there's a caveat. If they get close, right now they're 6 points up on Tampa. Magic number is 4. The second last game is in Tampa Bay. They play a three-game road trip at the end of the year, Florida, Tampa Bay, Rangers.
Right.
They've got second place locked up. They're right. Going to load manage. They're going to sit these guys. So if they get 100, if Marner gets 100 points before that road trip or before the Tampa game, then he gets it. But if right. They're not going to keep them in and have them get exposed against it, because you know Tampa is going to run and try to inflict some pain on the Leafs in that meaningless game. If they've already locked up second place, I'd play Wayne Simmons. I'd call up Kyle Clifford. I'd see if Paul Higgins is available and play that guy. So there you go.
There are the personal accolades, and then there's the personal well-being with the ambition of, you know, personally being at their very best when the playoffs begin mid-month. So the Leafs will have to weigh it out. OG's Converts, thanks so much for being here. Like the content, subscribe to the channel. We appreciate Oak Ridge for jumping back on board for sponsorship of the show for April. We're hoping it lasts into May, then into June. And then if the Leafs can win a Stanley Cup, we know that the coffers will open and we will get sponsorship indefinitely, because certainly it does make a difference. 09 Max, great show, Norman. Mike, thank you so much for that. 09 Max. Get at us in community, youtube.com/Leafs Convo/community. We're going to be doing some more shows. If you have a date in mind, if there's topics that you'd like us to get into, we will. You can leave your feedback there, and I do read it. I do respond to it. And what you have to say about the show is extremely important. In the meantime, hockeybuzz.com is where you can find Mike. And then, of course, I'm sure after Leafs Bruins tomorrow, you'll do your Twitter Faces. Is that what it's called?
Twitter Spaces, yeah.
So if I join tomorrow, you're going to cut me off like you did the last time?
I didn't cut you off.
I was in the middle of my soliloquy, and you just went to the next.
I didn't do
space.
It.
Maybe it was my phone.
It was Elon Musk.
It was. Okay, we better get out of here. My voice is about to go kaput. So for Mike, I'm Norm. Thanks so much, guys. Talk to you soon.